Blog Talk Radio.
This keeps me going on those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
Else.
remember this.
Your storm is over. I believe your rain is gone away.
Clouds have moved.
I believe you made it through it.
About your future.
Praise the Lord. We give God praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are absolutely rejoicing and glad in it. James Fortune, what a powerful song. I believe the storm is over. I believe. Hallelujah. God's going to fix it. I pray that's your confession tonight. I pray that that is your declaration on this evening. I pray that you have already decreed and declared a thing so God can establish it. Amen. He said in that song, we've been crying long enough. Amen. Come on, somebody. We've been suffering long enough. I don't know who that is for right there. We've been worried long enough. I know maybe somebody tonight can relate to that. We've been going through long enough, and I believe the storm is over. So as we continue to go into this new year, on this 10th day of the new year, we are fasting, we are praying, we are consecrating ourselves, we are turning our plates down. In the Old Testament, it was called the sacrifice. But they did it with animals and crops and other things that God required. Now the sacrifice, amen, is sometimes abstaining from certain foods, walking away from certain things and habits and recreational or leisurely things that bring us comfort. God says, put it down, lay it down for a season, and focus on your spiritual man. Focus on your spiritual woman. Focus on the invisible things of the Spirit of God. We are natural beings, but we are also spiritual beings. And as the body needs food, the body needs water, the body have its own cravings of the foods and the likes that we've developed over our lifetime. But God says, when you pray, when you fast, glory be to God, something supernaturally begins to happen in and through our lives and manifestation. Looking at Esther and looking at, hallelujah, so many scriptures in the Bible that talks about fasting and praying and the power thereof. So James Fortune, I applaud you on that song. That was out so many years ago, and it's Pastor Rebecca and I, she actually queued that up and played it, not knowing what I was going to talk about tonight, but it's so in line with the topic on tonight, which is, it's your time and it's your turn. Write that down, tweet it, hashtag it, whatever you need to do, but I pray that you get that in your spirit on this 10th day of this new year. It's your time and it's your turn. Pastor, what are you talking about? It's my time and it's my turn. Sometimes, you know, as we go through this walk, we're going to look at some scripture tonight. We see people being blessed. And sometimes we're wondering when we're going to be blessed. We see people getting healed, and maybe we still have sickness or infirmity or affliction in our body. We see people transition from sadness and depression, and now they have joy and happiness. And on the outside, yes, we have it, but sometimes on the inside, it is sometimes just not there. We walk around with this heaviness, and we walk around sometimes feeling this burden. If truth was to be told, I lived there. Trust me, I can relate to it. I've tried to be happy. I've tried to lift the load up, tried to shake myself loose. I tried to repel things, but yet I found myself still weighted down by the cares of this world, still weighted down by family and kids and marriage and responsibilities. And maybe that's you tonight. I have good news for you. It's your time and it's your turn, saith the Lord on tonight. With that said, go to Exodus chapter number 23, verse number 20. Exodus 23, verse number 20. And then we're going to look at 1 Kings, I believe, is chapter number 20. I need to find it. I really didn't write it down. I'm going according to memory. But we're going to look at the life of Hezekiah. And we're also going to look at the life of the children of Israel as they're being transitioned from slavery into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan, the land that God promised them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray before we get into this word tonight. It's your time and it's your turn. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every listener, those that are going through tonight, those who are burden heavy laden. You said coming to you and you will give them rest. God, that's what they're doing tonight. They're coming to this word Wednesday. It's like coming to Jesus, because that's all I have for people is you and your word. Your word has helped me. Your word has healed me. Your word has cleansed me and covered me. And now we're going to get into the word. You said the Bible in the beginning was the word. The word was God and the word was with God. Jesus, you are the word and the word is you. So as we get into this word tonight, bless your people. Minister to somebody tonight. Heal, set free, deliver, empower, encourage, edify, educate, emancipate. Do whatever you need to do, God, tonight. Encourage somebody's heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 23, verse number 20. I pray you have a pen and pad. Note these scriptures down. Go back during the week or later tonight. Even during fasting and praying, reread the scriptures as we approach Sunday, the Lord's Day. Again, on Sunday, we're going to also talk about fasting and praying, the power thereof. The focus is prayer. The focus is fasting. And we thank God as we fast and pray that God is going to do something wonderful in your life and in my life. Exodus 23:20 reads, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared for you." God, I can just preach that right there the rest of the night. God says, my Bible has a big A that represents the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to send my angel ahead of you all this year to keep you in your ways and to bring you into the place that I have prepared for you. Receive that on tonight. The angel has already gone to make a way for you. When you go on that job interview, God has already given you favor. When you go back to school, God has given you favor with the professors and favor with the faculty. When you go back, glory be to God, to whatever it is you're trying to do in life, God has already made a way. Verse number 21, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. There's a condition. Last time I preached, I talked from Deuteronomy chapter number 28. He says, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, if you walk in his ways, if you keep his statutes and his decrees, then these blessings will come upon you. You will be above and not beneath. You'll be the first and not the last. You will be the head and not the tail. You'll be blessed coming in. You'll be blessed going out. I will command a blessing upon you. Deuteronomy 28, I'm just quoting it. He said, your enemies will come at you one way, and they'll flee seven different ways. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to open up my good treasure to you. So when we believe the word of God that he's sending his angel ahead of us, now he's saying, listen to the Spirit of the living God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to when Pastor and I teach and preach the word of God about holiness, about righteous living, about sanctification and being consecrated. Make the hard choices and the hard decisions to delete certain people out of your phone, to step away from certain toxic and poison people and situations, to remove yourself from things that you know have been blocking you thus far in your life. God is saying, I want you to listen to my voice. The Bible says, I think it's around Ephesians chapter number 4, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That simply means don't go against it. Don't resist it. Flow with it. Agree with it. Come in unity with it. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That means we got to obey the Spirit of the living God. Verse number 22. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. Wow. That should bless you tonight. He says, if you listen to the voice of the Lord your God, I will be an enemy to your enemies. I will be an adversary unto your adversary. The word declares in Ephesians chapter number 6, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and visible spirits, against demons and demonic activity in geographical high places, against the power of this air, against invisible forces. We're not fighting with those who we think are hating on us, who we think are our enemy, who we think are against us. It's a spirit behind them coming against you, coming against me. There's an invisible spirit allowing them to hate on you and be jealous of you and envious of you, trying to get you fired, trying to see you fail, trying to sabotage your success. There's a spirit working behind them. But when it's your time and when it's your turn, no weapon, glory, keto oshata, formed against you will be able to prosper. When it's your time and when it's your turn, and it is, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When it's your time and when it's your turn, and it is, God is going to let you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. I said tonight, get it down in your spirit as we continue to go through this fasting and praying month, the 21 days from January the 8th to January 29th. Pastor Anthony, I believe you tonight. It's my time. It's my turn. I'm coming out of debt. I'm coming out of poverty. I'm coming out of struggle and suffering. I'm coming out of this sickness and this disease. I'm coming out of loneliness. I'm coming out of being angry. I'm coming out of that spirit of unforgiveness. I'm coming out. It's your time. And it's your turn. Let's get back to the text. Verse number 23. For my angel shall go before you. And he's going to bring into all the land with all these enemies, all these ites. Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Jebusites. And God said, I'll cut them off. Here it is. I need to get to this, and we're going to move on. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Verse 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and bless your water. He will take away sickness from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days will be fulfilled. for promises of God. If we obey the word of God, if we obey his voice, he's going to be an enemy to our enemy. That's a promise. That's number five. But I got four more. Number one, he's going to bless your food and bless your water. That's provision. That represents provision. You will never go without eating. You will never go without drinking healthy water. God will always feed you so you can live. God will always provide for you so you can live and take care of your family and your children. He'll give you shelter. He'll keep you employed. God will give you the money and the resources that you need to survive. That's represented, and I'm going to bless your food, and I'm going to bless your water. Number two, he's going to take away sickness. So many saints are sick. So many believers are on medication. So many people in the body of Christ are having surgery and going through certain situations. And God is saying, I'm going to remove sickness out of your body. I'm going to remove disease out of your body. I'm going to remove affliction and infirmity and those things that torment you. I'm going to take it out, remove it from the midst of you. I'm going to take it away. I pray somebody say, Pastor, I receive that from me. I've been sick. I've been on these meds. I'm scheduled for surgery. I receive that tonight by faith that God has already removed the sickness. That was my attitude when cancer plagued my body. It grew to stage two cancer. It was not stage one. It was stage two. And God didn't let it get worse than that. Stage three or stage four, or even worse. God prevented it. But even though it hit my body, even though sickness and disease got in, it could not stay in. Woo! Glory be to God. I said, even though it got in, it could not stay in. God is telling you to take your authority and evict, cast out sickness out of your body. Believe by faith that God has already healed you. He told me to quote and read Psalm 91 in that hospital. And another thing I find myself quoting and reading a lot is Isaiah 53. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. I read it on the radiation table. I read it and memorized it as I took chemotherapy. I meditated on it, and I read it, and I memorized it. And I had so many healing scriptures that I memorized when I was on that radiation table. Radiation is a serious thing, people of God. They can give you but so much, and if it's not working the way they plan on it to work, guess what? They still have to stop because it would do so much damage to many of your bodily organs that is irreversible. So there's a limited amount of radiation that they can give every human being to certain parts of the body. So when I was on that table, I prayed. I believed God. I quoted scriptures. They didn't hear me, but I was quoting it. I was praying in other tongues. I was speaking in my heavenly language because I believe what God said right here. I'm going to take away sickness. Number three, nothing shall cast their young. None will be barren in the land. This year, 2018, you will be fruitful. You will be productive. You will multiply. You got to make that declaration. I'm making it myself. Say it with me. Say, I will be fruitful. I will be fruitful. I will be productive. I will be productive. I will multiply. I will multiply. This year, because it's my time, And because it's my turn, and because it's my turn, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You ought to give God a praise right there. Put a praise on it for your prosperity. Put a praise on it for your productivity. Put a praise on it for your increase. Put a praise on it for your overflow. Put a praise on it. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. With a spirit of thanksgiving, praise him in advance. Thank you, Lord. It's your time, and it's your turn, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. Go to Hezekiah. Let's look at the life of Hezekiah. 1 Kings chapter number 20. I haven't visited this text in so long. If that's not it, we're going to find it. But I believe the story is found in 1 Kings chapter number 20. No, it must be 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I hope that's it. If not, 2 Kings. Yes. That's it. I was going according to memory. I should have wrote it down. I have so many scriptures in my notes, but this one, I've been here so much, going through what I went through the last from 2015 to 2017. I went here and visited this scripture because I needed God to turn it around. I don't know who that's for, but somebody need God to turn a certain situation around tonight. And God is going to do it. God has already done it. That thing has already made a 180-degree turn. It's already made a U-turn and going in the other direction. It's your time. It's your turn for a miracle. Write that one down. Write that one down. Write that one down. It's my time, and it's my turn for a miracle. To God be all the glory. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Get your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Can you imagine getting some news like that? You're the king. You serve God well. You turned the people of God back to him. You tore down the idols and the false gods that was in your area. You got people back to the one and true God. You tore down all the images that turned people away from God. You stirred up a fire in God's people as a king, not as a priest, but as a king. You knew enough about God to get God people back looking in the right direction. And you get bad news. You got a terminal illness. You will not recover. You will not be healed or set free from this terminal illness. So get your house in order. Get your final arrangements made. Put whoever in charge you need to be in charge, because you're going to die and not live. Didn't I say it's your time? It's your turn tonight? Look at verse number 2. Then he turned. Underline that, highlight it. Then he turned. He turned away from the prophet, who was a real prophet. He knew he wasn't a false prophet, but he turned away from that and turned his face to the wall and prayed with fasting and praying and prayed unto the Lord his God, saying. That's why we got to fast and we got to pray. some things don't look good for us, even as I'm speaking tonight. Maybe you're going through a situation. You need God to turn it around. Be like Hezekiah. Turn away from it and turn to God. Turn away from that situation and turn your attention toward God. Turn your mind away from worrying. Turn your mind away from stressing out. Turn your mind away from anxiety and turn it on prayer, praying to your God. The Bible says in verse 2, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord his God, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept. I told you he got the people back to God. I told you he did good in the sight of God. I told you he had a good and pure heart. I told you he lived by the truth and he knew the truth. And he reminded God of that. Let me just say this. Some of us are doing the best we can with this Christian walk. I didn't say you didn't fail. I did not say you're not caught up in maybe some kind of sin or ungodly activity, but you're doing the best of your ability, the best to your ability. And others may judge you. Others may size you up. Others may say, why don't they just get it together? Others may say they know better. Why don't they just do better? Trust me, people of God, we all have been given, the Bible said it best, a measure of faith. The pastor is a pastor because he should have a certain level of faith, a certain measure of faith. The Bible says to be a pastor, you got to run your own house well. If you can't run your own house well, how can you run God's house? And you got people with, you know, just immoral lives, people just really can't get it together. But yet, because they can preach, they think they should be somewhere pastoring. There's a moral code. There's a moral conduct. There's a moral way of living for the pastorate that we must abide by. And God is saying to you tonight, as you turn from that and turn your mind and prayers and attention toward me, let's see what Hezekiah had happen in his case. Verse number 4. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again. I'm about to drop the phone and run. Turn again. We're talking about it's our time. We're talking about it's our turn. He told the one that brought bad news, the prophet, who knew the voice of God, verse number 5, turn again. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up into the house of the Lord. Verse number 6, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you. Did God not turn it around? Did God not change the situation? Did God not repent of his intent for Hezekiah and reneged on it and changed his mind? He is God. He can do whatever he wants to do. He said, you're not going to recover from this disease. You're going to surely die. And then a few verses later, he says, you're going to live. Turn again. Tell Hezekiah. And we need to hear this tonight as we fast and pray for these 21 days, as we turn down our plate, as we abstain from meats and sweets and junk food and soda and candy and sugary drinks and all the sweet ice cream and cakes and pies and potato chips. God says, I hear your prayer. Number one, I sing your tears. Number two, I'm going to stop there. Sometimes the world, because the world has gotten so cold, the world has gotten so carefree, and the world has gotten so distant. You know, people, even sometimes, you know, not just representing the house of God, sometimes when you go to a home-going service even, you go to a home-going service or a funeral, and sometimes you come out, as soon as you get out, people are smoking, and people are just, you know, it grieves the heart of God that we can't mourn, we can't grieve, we can't take time out to feel. Some emotions got to be felt. Some pain, excuse me, some pain must be felt at times in our lives. We cannot always avoid pain. And Hezekiah shed tears because he thought he did not deserve what he was going through. After giving God his best, after not just talking about it, but being about it. And he's the one that gets a terminal illness while others go on living their merry lives. And that thing hurt Hezekiah. And God said, I seen your tears. They move me. Mother, father, sister, brother, daughter, son on this line tonight, Word Wednesday, every now and again, you're going to cry. I cried when I was in Morristown Medical Center. Oh, yes, I did. I wept when I got the news that I had cancer. I cried. And I believe God saw my tears. I ain't know I believe. I know he did. That thing brought me so much pain and discomfort and so much confusion and so much grief. I cried. I cried because of the excruciating pain that I was going through in the hospital. I had two major surgeries within 21 days, and it was very painful. I cried because the pain was so intense. It's okay to cry, people of God. It's okay to show God your tears, because I believe they move the heart of God. Bible says when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Mary and Martha wept. It's okay to cry. And then it says here, I will heal you and I will deliver you. I heard your prayer. I saw your tears. I will heal you. I will deliver you. It's your time and it's your turn. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at a few more scriptures tonight. The time is winding down so quickly, so quickly. I really want to touch on this identity thing. I want to cover identity. I want to cover the spiritual fruit. Sometimes we have natural fruit, making money, getting college degrees, excelling in our white or blue-collar vocations, but yet we sometimes lack when it comes to the spiritual fruit. The spiritual fruit. Matter of fact, let's go there. And then we're going to look at our identity, which is very important. When we know who we are in God, we begin to live that thing. We begin to expect God to do certain things because now we identify with what the Word has labeled us, what the Word has declared we are. Because when the Bible says we're yet carnal, that means even though we're Christians, we still think in the same way before we got born again. Before we gave our life to Christ, we're still acting and thinking and doing the same things, yet we are a new person. And God is saying, teach my people tonight about their new identity in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, they're a new person. The old has gone away, behold, everything had become new. But look at Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians, the New Testament book of Galatians first. Thank you, Jesus. Galatians chapter 5. Let me find it. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, I pray this is helping somebody tonight. Galatians, let me see if I can find that. The number 5. Amen. Yes. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22. I pray that you're there. The New Testament book of Galatians, right before Ephesians. Right, I think after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you'll find Galatians. As the Apostle Paul founded this church, and he founded the church of Ephesus, he founded the church of Philippi, he founded the church of Colossae, he founded the church of Rome, the church of Corinth. Paul founded all these churches, but as he writes this epistle to the church of Galatia, that was a certain area back in Paul's day, listen to what he writes to them in part of this epistle in this 5th chapter, verse number 22. First he goes on, let's back up because I want you to get a real picture of what's going on here. Yeah, verse 17, Galatians 5, verse number 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When you try to be spiritual, go to church, read your word, pray. Your old man, your old woman, your old flesh is not just going to go along to get along. It's going to come against everything that you try to do in the spirit. And it's going to be a tug of war. But once you continue to pour into your spirit like you are tonight, once you come to Word Wednesday, once you come to prayer, once you hear us preach and teach on Sunday, once you get into your private meditation and devotion, once you pray every morning and pray every night, once you fast and turn down your plate and build up your spiritual man, then the flesh gets weaker and weaker, and your spirit gets stronger and stronger. Although they're contrary one to another, if you build your spiritual person up, then it's going to beat the flesh every time. Verse number 18. But if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now here it is, the works of the flesh are manifest. That's what I'm talking about, the works of the flesh. This is the stuff that's against the spirit, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, levity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, illuminations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse number 22 is what I want to get to. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous or desire vainglory, provoking one another with envying and envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, meekness. This is the stuff we got to work on. God wants us to have houses. God wants us to have good bank accounts. God wants us to have more money to travel and live lavish lifestyles. God wants us to have enough to give to our children and our grandchildren. God wants us to make enough to advance his kingdom so that when we tithe, when we give to God's church, it's not such a burden. God wants us to do well in the natural. But I believe God wants all of us to do much better in the supernatural. When I became a believer, I was a very angry young man. And now I struggle to stay angry. Ooh, I don't know who that's for. I get angry, but it doesn't last. It doesn't hang around too long. I can just release it. People do things against me. People come against me. People try to sabotage and try to get me to act out in the flesh. I release them and I release it. I'm not going back to the old me. Oh, God, I don't know who that's for right there. You ought to just say that. I am not going back. I am not going back to the old me, to the old me. People are going to try to push your buttons. People know your trigger spots. People want to see that you're not that spiritual. You're just religious. You're just a Jesus freak and fanatic. You know, that Bible stuff don't work. You still in debt. You still lonely. You still upset. And you got to tell people, you can talk, but you're not going to push me back into that old person that I used to be and God delivered me from. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. Well, since we're in Galatians chapter 5, let's look quickly at chapter number 6. I'm just looking at it. My Bible is all highlighted, and I said I might as well read it. It has kind of nothing to do with the lesson tonight, but I'm thinking it's for somebody. I always let God lead me as I teach and preach these Word Wednesdays, and he's telling me, maybe it doesn't relate to it's your time, it's your turn, it's your season. My granddaughter told me the other day at her school, everybody's saying it's a new year and it's a new me. And there used to be a song out years ago, it's a new season, it's a new day. There's a fresh anointing coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. So as you crossed over into this new year, your business plan, what you want to do, what you want to become, what you want to have. Haven't we heard enough people throughout our lives telling us what we cannot have and what we cannot become? That's why God gave me this title tonight. It's your time and it's your turn to step up. Take it by force. Get an action plan together. Walk by faith and not by sight. Faith without works is dead. Do the work. Do the work. Do the hard work it's going to take to be successful. Chapter number 6 of Galatians, looking at verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teach in the word all good things. That's why Pastor Rebecca and I tell and try to ask the people of God on the prayer line in our Sunday church. We have a giving church. We have tithers at New Creation. We have those that sow and give often. We've been in ministry for over 11 years. 11 years. People said we wouldn't last 11 days. We had some folk that told us we wouldn't last 11 months. And we're still here 11 years later because God has always sent us givers, always sent us people that tithe, always had people keeping the doors of new creation open in different seasons. Some have gone, some have stayed, some have left, some have returned, but no matter what, God continues to provide for new creation Christian ministries. So it said, those who are taught in the word communicate or sow back into that vineyard, sow back into that garden that you're eating from, sow back into that area that's sowing into you. Verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. For he that sow to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that sow to the spirit, what you're doing tonight, you're sowing to your spirit. You're getting this seed down into the harvest of your heart. You're sowing to the spirit shall reap life everlasting. Verse number 9. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we faint not. It's your time. It's your turn. It's your due season. You've been faithful over a few things, and God is now ready to make you ruler over a lot of things. So many of us, we did not get weary in doing well. We're helping family. We're sowing. We're praying. We're loving people unconditionally. That's another one God wanted me to go to tonight. It kind of has nothing to do with the lesson, but I pray you got that right there. As you continue to sow to your spirit, what you're doing tonight, coming to prayer, coming to church on Sunday, you're sowing to the spirit. He said you're going to reap life everlasting, and you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not. But if you keep sowing to the flesh, we've already done that. We've partied, we've drank, we've got high, we slept around, we've done things to please our flesh. We know how to do that. We have to learn how to become more spiritual. Amen, somebody. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. Well, time is winding down. Time is moving so fast. But a few more scriptures I want to go to. But he told me to go here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. The Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. And I want to read this. You know, sometimes when we do a wedding, Pastor Rebecca and myself, we've married quite a few people over our pastorate, and sometimes I find this reading from this text right here. When you look at wedding ceremonies, they love this. They call this the love chapter. Amen. He says at the end of chapter number 12, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. That way is love. Chapter number 13, verse number 1. Chapter number 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That means there are some gifted people. There are some people that give a lot of money. There are some people, glory be to God, that speak in tongues. And I mean, they can pray and speak and talk in tongues. But if they don't have love, it's sitting like a tingling cymbal. Verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, they can prophesy and understand all mysteries. They have discernment and interpretation. And I have all knowledge. They're smart. And though I have all faith, they have strong faith. And so I could move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Wow. I got faith to move mountains. I can discern and understand mysteries, but if I'm not loving, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give to the charity. And though I give my body to be burned, I can become a martyr and have charity. It profit me nothing. God is saying, I don't care if you become a martyr, if you have no love, it's not going to do anything for the kingdom. You're feeding the hungry, you're clothing the naked, you're giving to the shelter. He said, but if you're not doing it with love and in love in your heart, you're nothing. Verse number 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love puff not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. His love right here. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. You got to love your children unconditionally. You got to love your spouse unconditionally. You got to love people with no strings attached. Not how they treat you, not what they do, not how they act, but I'm going to love you unconditionally. I don't want anything in return. That's the love he's talking about right there. To God be all the glory. God is a good God. Yes, he is. God is so good. I really can't look at all of these tonight. I wish I had more time. But as you look at John chapter number 1, John chapter 1, time's not going to permit me to go there. Yeah, time's not good. We only got a few minutes left. Maybe I can pick that up next week as we fast and pray. I'm going to talk more about our identity on next week. Hopefully, I'll stay on topic. To God be the glory. But we're gonna close out. I just pray that something I shared tonight has blessed you. You got to get it in your heart and get it in your spirit. It's your time and it's your turn. Sometimes we see other people, we think they're advancing, we think they're progressing, and we look like we're stuck. And the devil is a liar. Change your perspective. Change the picture. Get a more spiritual picture in your mind that you're so, so far from where you used to be. Always measure myself according to that. Not people saying I should make a certain amount of money. Not people saying I should live in a certain neighborhood and live a certain status. But am I still loving people? Am I still kind? Am I still nice? Am I considerate and compassionate toward my brother and my sister in Christ? That's my measuring rod. That's what I measure my Christian walk by. And that's what you should measure your Christian walk by. Are you loving people? Jesus said, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciples, your love one for another. So I pray you're loving on those that God give you opportunity to love. Love really does cover a multitude of sin. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, God, for the people that came, that they received a word from the Lord on tonight, in the name of Jesus. God, in this 2018 year, 8 is the number of new beginnings, 1, the number of new beginnings, 0, the number of new beginnings. We thank God for a clean slate, a fresh opportunity, another chance. So God, bless your people as we go down from this place, but never from your presence. That is their time, and that it is their turn. So I thank God for every one of you tonight. Love you. Please give to New Creation Church, sow a seed. Go to nccmonline.org $5, $10, $20. As Pastor said, you know, $40 a month, I'm going to commit to $10 a week. I don't know who that's for, but I pray we need money to keep the doors of the church open. We have so many ideas. We want some state-of-the-art equipment and technology in our church. It's just a technological world in which we live in. So, you know, if we get the right money, if we get the right budget, we can do some things to enhance our ministry. But even these ideas that Pastor and I have, it takes money. It costs money. So as you sow, know that you're sowing into good soil, and it's giving us the ability to do greater and bigger things. To God be the glory. Good night, everyone. See you on the Lord's Day, Sunday, 12:30 p.m. It's going to be a great service on this Sunday, this up and coming Lord's Day, Sunday, 12:30 p.m., 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey, 07206. That's our church address, way toward the end. To God be the glory. Church right on the corner, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless you.